Hello and welcome to another edition of the South Carolina Business Review. This is Mike Switzer. If you've been wondering what's going on with cryptocurrency lately, and Bitcoin in particular, we know that much of it could be tied to the fact that many exchange-traded funds, known as ETFs, are being assembled right now to invest in crypto, which of course would increase demand. But could there be more to the story? And could it be another major crypto bubble? Alan Gillespie is a chartered financial analyst and chief investment officer at FinTrust Advisors and our resident crypto expert. He joins us now by phone from his office in Greenville, South Carolina. Alan, welcome back to the program.
Glad to be here, Mike.
So tell us what indeed is happening with the crypto market these days.
Well, so one of the core drivers, which you have seen, is that they have now approved ETFs, which opens up the number of potential buyers. Now, there are some important differences between owning cryptos directly and owning them through an ETF structure, but I believe that's brought a lot of incremental demand into the market. And then the second thing is, historically, Bitcoin has run when there is political uncertainty. We first saw that in South Korea when, you know, missiles were being shot off over there. We saw it during our last presidential election cycle. And so I do think there is a certain amount of cyclical demand under the hood as well.
And so let's go back to the ETF situation. Is this an investment vehicle that would be more suitable for the average investor than just purchasing the coins themselves?
It can be. The downside to the ETFs, because you've now put an intermediary back into the picture, right? So you would have to have a brokerage account somewhere. Obviously, that broadens demand because you can buy it through, say, IRAs or other types of accounts. It may trade. You don't have to worry about the technology in the back. The downside is to that, if we go back to our South Korea example, if all of a sudden you're traveling across the world, you don't have that infrastructure. So that's where direct ownership of the coins has more utility.
All right. Now, we do still get a lot of questions about what is the real world value, you know, an actual example of why Bitcoin would exist other than as just a supply and demand, or, you know, just a mania thing.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different use cases. Early adopters think of it as the ability to upload money to the cloud if you have to travel. You don't want to be dependent on specific banking infrastructure. Second thing is just with correspondent banking, it gave people the ability to transact. But the bigger thing, I think, for industries like software, you and I talked about this years ago, it allows, if you have a very distributed workforce, much like the 401k, sort of shifted risk from the company running a pension onto the end user or the employee. Bitcoin settled currency transactions effectively moved the currency risk potentially to a remote worker rather than the company itself. So think about Microsoft might have employees in India and employees in an Eastern European country and employees in the US. But the relative price, if you will, of those coders is very different. Whereas if you pay in Bitcoin, it's a very uniform price because what you get back is a piece of code that does a uniform means of work. So it sort of puts the onus of the currency risk back on the individual user. The other utility function for Bitcoin or cryptos is to reduce counterparty risk. And to give you an example of that, if you think about a simple banking transaction, if I were to send you money, Mike, there would be me, my bank, your bank, and you. So there's actually four parties to that transaction, and that's a pretty simple transaction. What a crypto transaction does is it removes the intermediaries from that. So I transact directly with you. Now, we call them miners. They're still observers to the transaction. That's how you get verification that that's the mining function. But they're no longer parties to the transaction. So what that allows you to do is to transact more quickly. It does put more risk on, if I send you the Bitcoin, I no longer have it. I can't just call up my bank and do a stop payment and items like that. But what that does is it does remove counterparty risk, because what happened in the case of Lehman Brothers is people were no longer willing to send money through Lehman Brothers because they failed in the middle of the transaction. So it simplifies a transaction in some ways. It introduces, I don't say different risk, but counterparty risk is not one of them.
All right. Well, Alan, thank you so much for spending time with us and keeping us updated.
Always glad to speak with you, Mike. Appreciate the time.
Alan Gillespie is a chartered financial analyst and chief investment officer at FinTrust Capital Advisors in Greenville, South Carolina. Remember, you can hear this show again at our webpage, southcarolinapublicradio.org. And you can hear it again wherever you find podcasts. With the South Carolina Business Review, this is Mike Switzer.
The views expressed on the South Carolina Business Review do not necessarily reflect those of South Carolina Public Radio.